Blog Talk Radio.
Muy buenas noches, mi gente, ¿cómo están todos? Es un placer estar aquí de vuelta con ustedes otro viernes. Estamos gozando de lo mejor porque, como saben, tuvimos un evento este miércoles pasado en conjunto con la Universidad Interamericana de Puerto Rico y fue todo un éxito. Le vamos a hablar un poquito acerca de eso. Con nosotros tenemos a Nelson Dennis, que escribió el libro War Against All Puerto Ricans, y Alfonso Lozada, que es el director ejecutivo del Centro de Reclutamiento de Estudiantes y Exalumnos, I believe, creo que se llama. Yo siempre soy malo recordándome nombres, pero de todos modos ellos están aquí con nosotros. Este es su show, Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show, y yo soy su anfitrión, Will Santiago Viera. Como les dije, el evento fue muy, muy bueno y Nelson estaba hecho todo una estrella. Fue tan bueno que hasta vendió libros y todo, así que ya ustedes saben, la cosa estaba fenomenal. De todos modos, como siempre les pido, añadan a sus amistades y añadan ustedes a Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show, nuestra página. Todo lo que tiene que hacer es darnos un like, y si quiere también que lo pongamos en nuestra lista de seguidores, pues todo lo que tiene que hacer es mandarnos a nuestro correo, mandarnos una pequeña línea diciendo quiero que me pongan en la lista, a boricuasoftheworld@gmail.com. recuerden, boricuasoftheworld@gmail.com. así que no se me olvide, añada a su gente, añada a su gente, hable con todas sus amistades, que es que por favor se unan a nuestra página. Queremos crecer, queremos hacer la cosa más bonita. Entre más grandes somos, más poder tenemos, y eso es lo que queremos hacer. Queremos aprender de uno al otro y también queremos crear un poco de poder en nuestra comunidad. Como les dije, con nosotros tenemos a Nelson Dennis y Alfonso Lozada, y ellos están ya en la línea con nosotros. Saludos, muchachos, ¿cómo están ustedes?
Muy bien, gracias, Will, buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Hola, Will.
Nelson, ¿cómo estás tú?
Aquí, otra vez, otra lucha. Aquí
sí,
con,
sí.
Con
acabas de llegar a Albany, estás hablando con nosotros y desempacando a la misma vez.
Bueno, algo parecido, so, yeah, something like that. Albany is always very, very exciting.
That's good.
You can feel the power just emanating from the legislative office building, no matter where you are.
Yeah. Sometimes power that is not all that good for the communities, but hopefully maybe they'll figure out something and do something for our communities down here. Downstate needs some. At any rate, that's a conversation for another day. So, guys, I was dying to get to the show today because of the fact that I thought that although our audience wasn't as huge as we wanted it to be, we had some really, really cool people with us. What do you guys think about that?
I think it was a very positive dialogue. And let me interject before Nelson starts talking, because I was very impressed with the Nelson's oratory. You know, his talent. He's a fantastic raconteur. The talk exceeded my expectations. I had high expectations, but they were even better than what I expected. The context of the book is something that everybody should know, and it was very powerful. Very powerful to hear facts coming from a person that has done very, very good research and has prepared this impactful and very impressive presentation. So, you know, for those who were there, everybody enjoyed, and you know, hopefully this is something that continues to happen, and I urge everybody to go and see him whenever they can and to get the book, because it's really something that everybody should know about.
Yeah, we will be letting folks know there's an event on the 30th that's going to happen on 116th Street. I don't have the details right with me, but he will be doing that event, and I'm going to let folks know so that they can show up over there. But, Nelson,
yes,
the people were all very, very impressed with your presentation. What's your take? Do you think people got something out of what they heard?
Well, I think that there may be a subliminal element and dynamic at work, which I think amplifies the reception that the book receives, and it is the following. When I wrote the book, the general sense was that there was a book that was missing on people's bookshelves. It was a story of our community. There's plenty of books about the Black experience. There's even a lot of books about Cuba and just everywhere you go, but there really hasn't been that much written about the Puerto Rican, the relationship with the United States, the real experience of the island of Puerto Rico. So that's why I wrote it. And then I pushed hard to get it published last year because in April of last year was the 50th anniversary of the death of Albizu Campos. And so my publisher agreed, and they published it on the exact day. Él falleció, Don Pedro, en abril 21 del 65, April 21. And that was the publication date of the book, April 21, 65. So that was my original purpose in writing the book, is to fill a gap in our history and then to honor Albizu Campos. But now there is an additional dynamic, and this is why I say there's a subliminal element, and it's something that even I didn't completely anticipate, and that is the situation that Puerto Rico is heading towards, where it's at now, the extreme economic distress that may even devolve into a humanitarian crisis. It may go that far. And so when people are now hearing about this book, I think part of it, what's going on underneath it, is their sense of, wow, this history is not just history. It's a living document. It's something that's operating right now in Puerto Rico, and it's affecting everybody, and it's affecting my family and my community. It's even affecting us here in New York, because Puerto Ricans are coming into Orlando and into New York and into Texas. And everybody is being – anyone who's Puerto Rican is being affected by what's happening in Puerto Rico right now. And so I think maybe that's part of what's going on, where people are really more aggressive about wanting to find out about this book and about the history. Right now, this book was El Nuevo Día, last week, published an article of the top 25 best-selling books in Puerto Rico over the last year. And on that list was the latest Harry Potter book. On that list was To Kill a Mockingbird. On that list was a recent bestseller, The Girl on the Train. And on that list was War Against All Puerto Ricans. But what really surprised me was that War Against All Puerto Ricans was on the top of the list. It outsold all those other books. War Against All Puerto Ricans is the top-selling book in Puerto Rico. Now, I flatter myself that I wrote a good book, I really think that there's another element. Part of the respect, or the way people are really listening, is because there's a real tragedy that's beginning to unfold in Puerto Rico, and this book is a kind of somewhat of a roadmap to show people how it is that we got there. And it is for that reason that I really thank Alfonso and you, Will, for bringing all this, everything, not just the book, but the whole issue of the history, the economics, and where we are in Puerto Rico, to bring this to the audiences so that they can be more involved in it, and maybe this information can give us power so that we can get a better result for Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. You know that one of the things that I was thinking about is that now that we have all these issues with Puerto Rico, are you there? Hello? Did I lose you? I think I lost him. At any rate, what I was trying to say is that because of the issues that Puerto Rico is going through, and the fact that a lot of young people and a lot of
just people in general are reading the book, I think that they're putting two and two together. The book is allowing people to put two and two together, and that is the reason why I think that this book is going to be instrumental in getting people to really think about the situation as they never have before. And I think I have Alfonso with me still, right?
I'm here.
Yeah, I think he's back. This is internet, folks, and this usually happens. Are you back with us?
Yeah, I don't know where it cut off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I could actually hear you saying what happened or something to that effect.
Oh my God. Okay.
So, yeah. So what I was just explaining to him is that again, it's kind of like what you said. The book came at the right time because of the issues that we're facing in Puerto Rico, and the fact that so many people are reading your book. They're actually being allowed to put two and two together. Had your book not been written and people were going through all of this, many, many people would have just dismissed this as they always do, because we have a short memory for some reason or other. And I think that the book is allowing people to rethink their position on, you know, the crap that we're seeing in Puerto Rico. Anyone agrees with me?
I think it's a great access of information in a very concrete and compact way. And that's what the populace needs the most at this time, to know where all of this came from. And Nelson, you know, explains it in a very, very eloquent way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was incredible. I recorded a video, and it's going to take me a little bit. I think I'm going to have to do it in about four parts because of the fact that it just can't fit all of that into one DVD. So I'm going to do four parts. I'm going to put it on DVD, and I'm also going to put it on my Facebook, on Boricuas of the World video on YouTube, so people will get a chance to see it, and then I will post it to both, you know, the show site and the Boricuas of the World Social Club page also.
Yeah, I think that would be great for the people that missed it, for them to see it. I also have a little video, and the great thing is that it includes the speech and the presentation that Nelson did, but also has a Q&A with a couple of questions about his life and the book, et cetera. And it also has the last part, the tail end of it, is an open discussion with the crowd. And I think that the crowd's reaction, the people that see the video and the people who are there will attest to this. The crowd's reaction says it all. Everybody, you know, we went even over what we were supposed the time allotted, because we just created a conversation, and it was a back and forth between, you know, the teacher and Nelson and myself and you and everybody. It became an open discussion about, you know, us and our status and our island, and it was fantastic. It was fantastic to see that the people got up in arms, and they, yeah.
The people were incredibly interested, and I must say that we had a college professor, a painter, we had two reporters, one in print and one who was from TV. We had about three or four book writers. So we had a very savvy group of people in there to listen to the presentation. My camera angle was, you know, high, and because of that reason, I have a very clear video, and the sound is perfect. You know, you just perfect. That room is perfect for speaking because people can hear you at the front all the way to the back. So it was really great. But we had some pretty decent characters there, and everyone had opinions. Everybody had something to say. What I liked the most was that they were so engaged even before the event started. You know? They were just having all these conversations about the book, and, oh my God, when I read the book, I couldn't believe this and I couldn't believe that. So you actually gave people information that they never really had, and that's meaningful. That says a lot, because it opens up people's minds about you know, the crap that has gone on for 50, 60 years. So that was great. That was great. What was your favorite part? María, como qué malo soy yo con los nombres. Nelson, what was your favorite part?
Well, Norman, my favorite part was when when we had our actor studio moment with Alfonso. And if you, for those of you radio audience who follow the actor studio on television, there's a moment when they have the star comes, and then I forget the guy's name, but he always has his index cards with all these questions. And that's when you get really into that person's life. So Alfonso had some great questions, and it was a way of amplifying and getting closer to the process of why I wrote the book and where it is now in relation to audiences. And so I enjoyed that a lot. It gave me an opportunity to go into other aspects. Because I've done this now for the last year. It's been 11 months now. And so I've done about 50 presentations of the book. And each time is different, but also each time I'm going over the history. And so it was great for Alfonso to bring out other aspects. And so I appreciated that, Alfonso, that you took that extra time to come up with those questions. The other thing that I thought was really helpful was that the audience was very cued into how this book related to the situations that was happening in Puerto Rico now, so that it really we were able to bring the discussion into the present time. And so that was a good thing.
Yeah.
That was
The fact that they were so engaged made it even more comforting, because to me it was getting a little long, but every time I kept seeing people, you know, people's faces, they were estaban clavados en lo que estaba pasando. Los ojos de ellos estaban clavados en lo que estaba pasando. That's important. One of the things that I wanted to talk to both of you about was when you were doing the questions and answers at the table. Alfonso asked you, so what do you think it's really, really going to happen in Puerto Rico? And you gave him an answer that made my blood cold. And so I want you to elaborate a little bit on that answer that you gave him, and I'm pretty sure you remember what question I was asking him. I'm asking about.
Yeah. So if I think the answer that I gave is that Donald Trump is going to buy the island, and he's going to string 100 golf courses from one end to the other, and he's going to call it Porto Trump. And so, forgive me for giving that. You know, I know that I was a bit drastic, and my latest news is that he's actually only buying Vieques, Culebra, and the Mona Island on the other side, and he's actually, you know, going to use the island for target practice, and so it's not as bad. And although I joke, there's an element of truth in it, and it is this, that we're in a situation where historically, when the United States first went in, there was a hurricane and a currency devaluation and a set of property taxes, and the result was that people started losing their farms really quickly, and they had to look for some kind of new liquidity. They had to borrow money. They could only go to the American Colonial Bank. And the long story short is the interest was so high, the American Colonial Bank didn't even want them to repay the loans. That is, it's not like they were a friendly banker. It's just that they didn't care about the loans. They wanted the land, and they got the land. And within 30 years, those loans became leverage. And that leverage led to 80% of Puerto Rico's land was owned by North American banking syndicates. That's what happened very quickly. Well, we're in a comparable situation now. And so even though I joke about Porter Trump that he's going to buy it, he's going to take 100 golf courses, there's a pretty big element of truth. You have billionaires like Nicholas Prouty and John Paulson who get in helicopters and they fly around the island, and especially around the coastline, and they look for prime coastal properties that they can decide to buy. So we're in a position where we have these high net worth people, these billionaires coming in from the United States, and they just, like, they use the island as a dartboard. Okay, I want this, I want that, and then they go out and they get it. How can they do that? Because they're turning the island into one big distress sale. They're taxing people to death. They're making people leave. There's homes that people can buy for literally for pennies on the dollar. You have hedge funds that are buying up this debt also for pennies on the dollar. And we have a financial control board that is soon going to descend on the island. It'll be the de facto government and economy of the Puerto Rico will be run by this financial control board. And this control board will be essentially a collection agency for the hedge funds. And so we're coming to a point really quickly where if there isn't some sort of meaningful, coordinated, and very solid opposition, this debt, this $73 billion debt, is going to be turned into what they call P3s, public-private partnerships, where just like the land back 100 years ago, the banks used the loans as a way of getting hold of Puerto Rico's land and then turning it into a sugar crop, a sugar cane economy. Well, now these hedge funds, these bondholders, are going to turn this debt into a way of getting the physical infrastructure of Puerto Rico. Not so much the land, not sugarcane fields, but the highways, the bridges, schools, prisons, the electrical grid, PREPA, the water supply, PRASA, that much, the airports. Luis Muñoz Marín has already been privatized. PR-22 and PR-5, two highways, they've already been privatized. The legislature of Puerto Rico has approved the privatization of the public school system. And none of these things are happening by accident. The RFPs, the request for proposals, have already gone out to prospective corporate bidders for PREPA with a 4-cent rate hike attached as a corporate inducement. 4 cents. Well, right now, Puerto Ricans are paying about 28 cents per kilowatt hour, where I'm paying, in New York City, 8.2 cents per kilowatt hour for my electricity. Puerto Ricans are paying more than 300% higher in electricity rates than I am, and New York City is a high cost of living. So now, if they're going to add another 4 cents to that as an inducement to prospective corporate bidders who are bidding on the public-private partnership of PREPA, because PREPA owes money, they owe $9 billion. So how are they going to get out of it? By turning PREPA into a public-private partnership and raising the rent, raising the rate by another 4 cents. Well, if that's what's going to happen to Puerto Rico, then everybody is going to start leaving, even more people. They're going to have to leave the island because they can't afford to live there anymore. And that's what the answer that I gave you last week, Will, and I'm sorry that it was so drastic, but I'm trying to give it, you know, in a more particular way so you can see the answer I gave. The answer I gave last week was that if we're not careful, people are going to continue to leave the island. More billionaires from the United States are going to move into the island, and then Puerto Rico will become a state when basically the island is owned by Americans, and it's an American island. They call it Puerto Rico, but it's really, a suburb of Scarsdale or something. When they gentrify the island, then they'll think about allowing it to become a state. And so, I didn't mean to sound drastic, but sometimes you have to sound the alarm in order for people to do something, because it's becoming very serious that the financial control board is going to they're probably going to announce something within 2 weeks. The Speaker of the House, Jim Ryan, is saying that he wants some action in Puerto Rico by the end of March, and the hedge fund people, the bondholders, they want something to happen as quickly as possible because there's a bond payment that's due in June, and they don't want Puerto Rico to default on that bond payment. They want a financial control board to be down there to make sure that this payment is made in June. So this is going to happen really quickly. And so I gave an answer that I think is appropriate to the time, because it's very urgent that people in Puerto Rico know that if they oppose this financial control board, if they don't want the physical infrastructure to just be turned into collateral for this debt, then we need to start doing something now. And that's why I gave that answer.
I know that we cannot speculate on things that are a little too deep and crazy, but do you think that there are some people in Puerto Rico already thinking that we have to have a revolution?
Well, a revolution can take many forms. The United States is still the most powerful military,
in the world,
on this planet, in the world. So you can't, you can't go at them, head on like that. But there's many ways that you can basically create a more level playing field. Interesting. Here's one that, and Alfonso, maybe you can judge it, weigh in on this. And he was formerly the chief judge. He was chief judge for 11 years of the First Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a federal appeals court. Not just federal district court, federal appeals court. In other words, it's just one step down from the U.S. Supreme Court. And he was the chief judge of this court for 11 years, and he's still on the court. His name is Judge John Torruella. You probably heard of him.
I've heard of
John Torruella. Yeah, and he's been on the federal bench for over 30 years. He's been there for a really long time. And I bring that up because he called for – this is revolutionary. He called for a general and complete boycott of all U.S.-owned chain stores in Puerto Rico. So you're talking about Walmart, Walgreens, things like that. That I think is pretty effective because there's more Walmart and Walgreens in Puerto Rico per square mile than anywhere else on the planet. So if you want to talk about maybe changing the Jones Act and having Puerto Rico not just be a dumping ground for American products, that's the kind of revolution that we can have, which is to really organize and do what the African-American community did in the late 50s and early 60s and turn and maybe make Puerto Rico the Jones Act, the new Vieques of Puerto Rico.
But that would be difficult, and I tell you why. I visited Puerto Rico when my parents were living there often, and my wife and I went to the supermarket, and we noticed that a lot of the stuff that was sitting in the supermarkets that was important, milk and fruits and stuff came from the United States. So what are we supposed to do? Boycott fruits and milk and meat and that those sort of things also?
Oh, so you're saying, well, still people got to eat? Well, yeah, but you just don't have to buy it there. Support your local grocer, support your people, support the smaller businessmen, support Puerto Rican businesses. That's what a boycott is.
Milk,
we're not going to not stop eating.
Sold,
we're
cafe,
just going to buy our stuff from Puerto Rico.
We don't make enough cafe. We don't make enough milk. It'll be difficult for the people. Doable, I believe it is, but it will be very difficult for people. But then again, it's time for from some hard questions and some hard decisions,
Yeah. Well, I'll give you one more piece, though. You can maybe get your real absolute essentials, your milk and eggs and bread and meat, this. Maybe you could do that, but then – Don't buy any $500 widescreen TVs over at Best Buy or at Walmart or do that.
I mean, boycotting the big stores, it's something, because I do understand that that's something. But to make it really worth it, I think you need to boycott these smaller things, like the milk that comes from the USA, the fruits that come from the USA, the stuff that you use, la pasta, palo diente, that we don't have, the soap, things of that sort that are necessities for folks. I think that those count a lot as well. But anyways, que se puede hacer. Folks, we're almost to the end of the show, but I like to tell you that yesterday I put up some photos. If you have not seen them, I put them at the show's page, Boricua of the World Social Club Talk Show. They're there, and they are also at our big page, Boricua of the World Social Club. So if you want to see those images, they're there, and I will be working on the video. It's going to take me a little bit, but hopefully by the next few days I'll be able to finish something. And I will provide that to you also so you can check it out, see what we have. And, of course, Alfonso, I'll make you a hard copy. And, Nelson, I will also make you a hard copy so you can have for yourselves. But, again, muchas gracias. Thank you for a great event on Wednesday. And thank you for a great
before
evening
you sign
tonight,
off,
guys.
Will, yes. Before you sign off, can I just make a note of two things? Really quickly.
Please.
Two things. One, I want to make note again of what Inter-American University is doing in East Harlem.
Yes.
And I want,
yes,
you know, to recognize what Alfonso is all about, that they're providing an education to our people in East Harlem that is like the Phoenix University, but it's the Phoenix Online University for our community, and that people can get a complete college-accredited degree, and it costs less than, the whole 4 years costs less than practically one semester in other colleges. And so I encourage people to find out about Inter-American University, to go on their website, to stop by 120th Street and 3rd Avenue and find out how they can get a complete college education for less than 10% of the cost. And I want to acknowledge Alfonso for that. So that was one thing. And the second thing I want to tell you is that I saw Carmen Quinones up here in Albany. I just saw her tonight.
Uh-huh.
And that Carmen is looking like a model. Carmen has she's lost 67 pounds.
Wow, 67, wow.
I asked her. She looks like 20 years younger. So everybody,
wow,
you know, you guys better stand in line because Carmen's dance card is full. I mean, she was beating him away with a stick at this party tonight. So Carmen, I love you, and you look like a brand new woman. God bless you, Carmen Quinones.
Well, you know, I got this and that dance because I know Carmen since she was 16 years old. She went to school with my girlfriend, who then became the mother of my children and my wife. So I got dips first. I'm going to dance with the lady. So I will dance with her,
okay,
whether she's gordita or she's flaquita, because she's a beautiful heart and a tough, tough lady who is a fighter, and that's
sure
the kind
is
of people that I love. But before we go also, I want Mr. Lozada to tell us the address and the telephone number so that they can contact him in case they want to study at the school or in Puerto or on the internet.
Yeah, the information for, you know, everybody can go on inter.edu. That's the main website for the university, or they can come and visit us at 2196 3rd Avenue, which is between 119 and 120th Street on 3rd Avenue in El Barrio, right in the center of El Barrio. They can also call us at 646-692-4820. In the next couple of days, I will be heading to New Haven and to Hartford and Springfield, Massachusetts, on college fair trips, and we're going to be bringing the message. So if anybody from those communities, Puerto Rican people, Hispanic people, anybody is interested in getting affordable education, accredited affordable education, come and visit us at the NACAC college fairs. We will be there bringing the message and bringing the information to people.
Muy bien. Bueno, pues así terminado. Gracias a los dos. Ustedes han sido increíbles conmigo en estos últimos meses y han venido al show y han trabajado conmigo. Vamos a ver si lo hacemos otra vez pronto.
Likewise, well, likewise.
Que la pasen bien, que Dios me lo bendiga, mi gente. Y como siempre les digo, para saber a dónde vamos, tenemos que saber de dónde venimos. Lo vamos a dejar con un poquito de música para que bailen este viernes y nos vemos la semana que viene a la misma hora. Recuerden que si quieren seguirnos, mándenme un correo a boricuasoftheworld@gmail.com y me dicen, I want to follow your show. ¿Ok? Que la pasen bien. Nos vemos.
De salir para encontrarse cansada, que yo sugiera irnos a dormir
para estar ya desvelada. Vas a pedirle la luna para que no me dé nada. Y cuando ya no hay nada que pedir, me entregue el cuerpo y el alma. Esta mujer me mata con sus caprichos, con sus palabras. Esta mujer me mata y yo no puedo dejar de amarla. Esta mujer me mata cuando me mira, cuando me abraza. Y es que a pesar de todas sus locuras, tiene algo dentro que me arrebata. ¡Anda!
Esta mujer me mata, me mata. Esta mujer me mata, me mata.
Es que si yo la invito a cenar, ha comenzado una dieta que cambió el plan por irnos a bailar. Odia las discotecas. Y sin embargo una noche me viene como una reina. Y no hay manera de poder parar, porque esta noche es eterna. Esta mujer me mata con sus caprichos, con sus palabras. Esta mujer me mata y yo no puedo dejar de amarla. Esta mujer me mata cuando me mira, cuando me abraza. Y es que a pesar de todas sus locuras, tiene algo adentro que me arrebata. ¡Sí!
Esta mujer me mata, me mata, me mata.
Con todos sus caprichos de ser, pero
esta mujer me mata, me mata, me mata,
me mata cuando la invito a salir y quiere quedarse en casa. ¡Y qué mujer!
De mi querer.